Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things. Hey. Happy Throwback Thursday.
Happy
Kevin.
Thursday, Roberto.
I don't know why. We've decided to do it very formally now. I don't know why. I feel like we should have like little bowlers and umbrellas and just like a monocle and nod to each other.
Oh, hello, sir. Welcome to Throwback.
No, not that.
Thursday.
Now we're going too far.
Okay, sorry.
Now that's a little too much
pull
for
back,
everybody.
Pull it back, Kevin. Pull it back.
Pull it back, Kev. Pull back. How have you been?
Good. Real good. Yeah.
How's your lovely wife doing?
Oh, Sutton is good. Yeah. She's real good.
What's she up to?
Yeah. What is she up to? She's, you know, what she does as her day job, as you might say. She's an actress as well. We met playing Romeo
great
and Juliet.
Actress. Oh, so I talked over you.
No,
she's
good.
She's a great actress. She's, well, but you were saying, how did you guys
she's
meet?
We were Romeo and Juliet and Romeo and Juliet. Barf. Like, amazing.
That's romantic.
It's adorable.
That is romantic.
She's good. But her day job is, we have to find another word, but right now we say child wrangler, but not like in the Broadway sense where you take care of, where you're the stage manager of the young people in a show, but she works on photo shoots, and she's basically the liaison between the photographer and the child. So if the photographer wants the two-year-old to do a downward dog pose with one leg in the air and one hand in the air, you know, and smiling with one eye closed, then Sutton does that. She makes that happen. So if you see anything from Target, Uniqlo, Amazon.com, any of that stuff with children in it, Sutton's behind the reason why that they are doing whatever they're doing.
That is incredible.
She loves it. She's like Mary Poppins. She's got a bag that she brings, and out of that bag, sometimes when you touch the bag, it will either fart or make bells and whistle sounds because she's got all these weird toys in there. She does have a fart machine. I'm not kidding you.
She must love that job.
She loves it. She loves it. And she's good at it. She's real good at it. She's a clown. I mean, she's basically a clown on set. So
that is so cool. How did she get into that?
She had worked for her aunt is a stylist on photo shoots, and Sutton had worked as an assistant for years, years, and had seen the Wrangler doing that kind of work. And then finally, after like 8 or 9 years, the Wrangler was like, hey, why don't you apprentice? Why don't you learn to do this as well? And so she did, and now she does it all the time.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Can she come and work with some of the actors I work with? They're not children, but every once in a while.
You know, sometimes you need to get out your little feather duster and put it on their nose and make them smile.
My production of Hello, Dolly I'm doing, where they're all in a downward-facing dog with one eye open.
I love it.
We really need that.
It's going to be so good. Call on Dolly.
Can you just imagine, like, all in there, like... their dog poses.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. You know what? I'm a little tired. There was a good movie on last night.
What'd you watch?
So I was watching, well, it's kind of embarrassing.
Tell me.
I was watching The Wedding Singer with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Okay, yeah.
I really love The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, wow.
I'm going to say this.
Adam Sandler, Rob.
Well, being Rob Schneider... And considering
I'm
featured in every one of his movies. I will say this about him. There's so many movies of his that when they come out, people give them like one star and they pan them and they say they're horrible.
Like where they had to be gay? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Come on.
Now, I'll be honest with you. These are movies I'm like, I never see them in the movie theater.
Right.
I'm like, what is this? How dare you?
Yeah.
Give me a foreign pretentious film where they all talk very quietly in French to each other and something serious is happening.
Michelle Legrand is playing in the background.
There's always a cello and a minor key to tell you trouble's coming.
Totally.
But when I watch them on TV, I think they're so funny.
Huh.
So there was a marathon. It was that. It was, I think we talked about this before, Zohan. Which I'm really obsessed with.
Oh my gosh.
There was 50 First Dates with Drew Barrymore.
That's actually, I like that
one. I think it's really sweet.
Yeah.
And then there was that Jack and Jill movie.
Nope, don't know it.
I saw a trailer for this. He plays his sister in drag.
No.
And I thought, oh, this is a fake trailer. They're mocking something.
Right.
No, it's an actual legitimate movie.
Ouch.
Yes, I kind of watch those. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me.
It's either that or Stairway to Stardom. So.
My husband has put a moratorium. My husband has said there are two things I cannot be listening to anymore. One is Stairway to Stardom, and one is the opening number of Bright Star on repeat.
Oh, I love that.
So I listen to it all the time, and as soon as she goes, if you knew my story, he literally yelled at me, goes, I know your story. I've heard it 20 times today. I know your story.
I saw Bright Star and just had the most amazing time in the theater.
It was really good,
too. It was really special.
If you've not listened to the really cast special. Recording of Bright Star, get it, because it really is wonderful. Isn't it special?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very special.
Speaking of special, Kevin, what's special for you today?
All right. I'm bringing you a book. You're going to know this book right away because it's on your shelf. I see it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I really love this author, and I think that he writes really, really incredible. I was on vacation, and I brought the book with me, and I read it in 4 days. I reread it because it had been a while. And he takes musical theater, analyzes it by the decade. What's the author?
Oh, it's Ethan Mordden.
Ethan Mordden, yeah. And this is Coming Up Roses, the musical of the Broadway musical on the 1950s. Good year.
I thought you were going to refer to the book called It's Not Your Fault, You're a Fat Ass. Parentheses, It's Always Your Parents' Fault. ... Order that extra chicken sandwich from Burger King.
Stop.
Close parentheses.
Exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark.
Oh, man. I see all four of his, five of his series I mean, he literally did. I think he started in the 40s, and the 30s, I believe, is where he talks about the plays of the 30s. Maybe.
Oh yeah, okay. So because I'm looking at it on the shelf here.
Yeah.
So Ethan Mordden, he wrote
Sing for Your Supper.
Let's see, Make Believe, Sing for Your Supper, Beautiful Morning, Coming Up Roses,
20s, 30s,
Open
40s,
a New Window,
50s, 60s,
One More Kiss,
70s,
and The Happiest Corpse Ever. He's written seven
80s.
Books.
Incredible.
About the decades in musical theater history. Yeah,
and,
okay.
And his, I have to say, before jumping into this book, his research is outstanding in these books.
And the book you read, I'm sure, was called Coming Up Roses?
Yeah,
it was the 50s one.
This is the 50s one.
Coming Up Roses.
Which is a really cool book because you really see the evolution of musical comedy and the effect that Rodgers and Hammerstein had on musical theater. I mean, basically, they did serious musicals where no one had really done that before. We're used to maybe star vehicles where, you know, musical theater came out of the vaudeville era. So you're used to getting, you know, people that would have a loose storyline and then the star would, like, you know, do their funny bits. Like Bert Lahr would be a clown and he would do his stuff, you know, and then there'd be like a little story within. But the songs didn't always further the plot. Well, Rodgers and Hammerstein came along with Oklahoma and Carousel and King and I, and it was like, well, guess what, guys? We can have a really serious story about this woman going to Siam and, you know, and having an effect on this king. And it's very serious. People die. It's tragic, you know, and that was we take it for granted now, but that was completely new. So what's cool about this book and Ethan Mordden's take on it is how that evolved and how we get to West Side Story, how we get to Gypsy by the end of the 50s. Some people may disagree with some of his opinions. I perhaps don't agree that Riff and Tony in West Side Story are lovers. I didn't really... I don't go for that. I don't subscribe that Riff is in love with Tony. I understand that Mercutio and Romeo may have, but I don't know. I think that's an opinion.
Just to be clear, in the production I directed 2 years ago,
shut up.
Riff and Tony were lovers.
Oh, were they?
Off stage.
Oh.
So yes, I have seen productions. I've seen productions where Schrank and Tony were off. Gee, Officer Krupke had a totally different take. But.
So it's a very, he's opinionated, but for the most part, I really like his opinions. But his, like I said, his research, though, I feel like this man, all he does is sit and listens to, like, By the Beautiful Sea, goes to the library, and then reads the libretto. And then, because he is so, every flop that he talks about, every hit he talks about, he must talk about at least 30 shows in these books, at least 30, 40. And he's done all of the research on it. Like, he'll even include dialogue from the show in the book, so you can see an example of like how it was still vaudeville in style, or how it was, you know, serious in style, or how it was just terrible. And he's judicious with his material, but you get the famous shows, you get shows that maybe you've never heard of, star shows like Two on the Isle, you know, starring Dolores Gray and help me out.
Bert Lahr?
Yeah, Bert Lahr. Or Bette Davis in Two's Company.
Oh, like, Bette Davis, yeah.
Like, who's dying to hear that again? But he talks about how in the early 50s, you know, that was sort of the star vehicle with you know, fluff and no stuff, you know, was kind of fading away. That, and he gives the reasons why, and then he evolves to what happens, you know, in the later 50s when things got real smart, and they, you know, of course, West Side Story and Gypsy. But so I think it's, and it's a fun read. It doesn't come across as academic at all, you know, because you just read the 70s one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did the 70s one, and that's a really good point, Kevin, because a lot of musical theater history books, or theater history books in general, are so dry. And
totally,
and to be honest with you, we love this stuff. And even there, sometimes I'll be reading it, going, "Oh, you got to be
snooze
kidding
fest.
Me!"
Well, there's that one anthology book that's the you know what I'm talking about. It's huge.
It's
and it literally is literally a reference book. It's like every single show. It's more.
Gerald Boardman.
Yes,
is that right?
That's exactly right. Of course,
I mean,
you know,
because I teach musical theater history.
Yeah,
those are good to have if I'm looking for a date or something like that. But these books by Ethan Mordden are really fantastic, and they're very funny. He has a lot of wit in there. And you're right. The nice thing is his opinions instigated debate between himself and the reader.
Exactly.
And that's really wonderful.
Totally. And I read it years ago, and then I reread it again a week or two ago. And I knew all of the shows because I've listened to a lot of stuff since then. So I, when he talks about Top Banana and he talks about certain shows that are not famous, I like having listened to them. But having not listened to them, you still get the same out of it.
He's wonderful.
He is. And what he does is he'll take iconic shows like Guys and Dolls or Tree Grows in Brooklyn, and he'll form the chapter around how that show was an influence on the world of musical theater as we know it. And then the next chapter will be like 1952 on the street. So meaning, what were the shows that were playing Broadway on the street and the effect that maybe they were lesser known shows, but that they were still, you know, historically very important and that they helped with the evolution of what we know as theater today. Because a lot of people think that, you know, we just, you know, came out with Hamilton like that. But if there was no Sondheim, there'd be no Hamilton. If there was no Hammerstein, there'd be no Sondheim, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, and I like the context of how we got to where we are today, you know, and I appreciate the history of it all. And I find that he does too. And I don't have the time, I would like to have the time to sit and read through every single libretto and learn why certain shows were not good. But this man has done it. And I thank him for it. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you for all the research you've done, because my goodness, you spent a lot of time at the library.
And I haven't read it yet, but he just released a new book about Sondheim. And
really?
I think he goes through all of Stephen Sondheim's works.
Interesting.
I'd like to read that.
I would too.
That'll be our next project.
I think so.
We can read chapters to each other. How exciting will that be?
The sad thing is it kind of would be.
We could do that.
I would need some help along the way.
I can totally do that.
So my book is Ethan Mordden's Coming Up Roses, but you can pretty much pick any one of his decade books and find some really good juicy stuff in there, and it's really
so
fun.
Good.
And he gives you a lot of little tidbits that maybe you didn't know about certain stars, Gwen Verdon or so and so forth, and you get little kind of backstage stuff as well, which I like and I appreciate.
Which helps understand why certain decisions were
Indeed.
Made in the musical.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah, please pick up the books. They actually go for really good prices on Amazon.
Yeah.
Very cheap.
Yeah.
Very cheap.
So, what do you have?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Today, my friend.
Mine, you know what? I'm actually going in the 1960.
Ooh.
So your 50s have ended, okay. So now I'm in 1960 for you.
All right. The year.
The year 1960.
Oh, boy.
The creators of this musical wrote four musicals in the 1960s. I think it's the best one. out of all four. I even think it's better than the ones that came before 1960 because they collaborated in the 50s as well. Julie Stein, Betty Comden, Adolph Green.
Of course. Is this Do-Re-Mi?
Do-Re-Mi.
Oh, wow. I thought it was 61. Nice.
Do-Re-Mi.
I don't know this.
You don't know it.
I don't. I confess that I do. It's on my, like, I have that list of things, of shows that I need to listen to, and that is on it, and I just haven't ever gotten to it.
I'm going to recommend that. There's two great cast recordings of Do-Re-Mi. Actually, there's three. There's the original Broadway one.
Right.
There's a London version.
Right.
And then Encores did it in 1999, and they made a recording of that. I actually prefer the Encores version. So just for those of you who are unaware, Do-Re-Mi is a musical about a minor league con man who's not very successful at all, who decides that he's going to go legitimate by going into the business of jukeboxes. He's going to sell jukeboxes. And what he's going to do is he's going to sign a great young recording artist, and her work will only be featured in the jukeboxes that he sells. Wow. So it's the first time he's ever going to attempt at going legitimate in his career. And he's got a wife who's constantly harping at him and nagging at him, saying, you know, you've got to give up these real small idea, flash in the pan type things. And she wants him to take a job with her father in his cleaning business. He's a dry cleaner. So the whole musical is about this man who really is a loser, who, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert,
it's fine,
ends a loser.
Mm.
And the one thing he realizes that he has is his great marriage. It's very sweet.
Wow.
It's very touching. The business goes nowhere.
Is that why it's called Do-Re-Mi?
Do-Re-Mi, because it's the musicality of it. Originally was Phil Silvers.
Phil Silvers, yeah.
And Nancy Walker, who you might remember as Rhoda's mom on Rhoda, Sophia Petrillo's sister on The Golden Girls, and Angela,
of course.
B. Arthur would say. And they are wonderful together. And there's a clear chemistry there. The revival, here's this cast. Ready for the revival?
Oh, gosh.
Nathan Lane.
Of course.
Or the Encore CD, I should say. Nathan Lane, Randy Graff, our first guest, Randy Graff, in those roles. And the young couple, Brian Stokes Mitchell and Heather Headley.
Dang.
Were the young couple. So that's why I prefer the revival one.
Yeah.
I think they're really, really wonderful. And that is the musical. This is why I think it's actually one of the best things that they've done. The score for Bells Are Ringing, which they did prior to this, and you all know Just in Time and Perfect Relationship, the score, I think, of Bells Are Ringing is more fun. But the score for Do-Re-Mi really moves the plot along. I think it's a really great example of using the score to the best of its ability. So it might not be as fun as Bells Are Ringing, but I think it's actually, when you put it all together, makes a much more interesting musical. And there are some great, great songs in there. Things like Adventure, things like a song called Ambition. One of the funniest numbers is a number called The Late Late Show, in which Phil Silver's character is explaining all of the characters that he sees while he's watching movies late at night.
Right.
And he goes through 30 different impressions of actors. And it's brilliant. But the big song that comes from Do-Re-Mi that I think everybody knows
is It Make Someone Happy.
Make Someone Happy.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful show. It's a great show. The other musicals that they did in the 60s would be Subways Are for Sleeping, Fade Out, Fade In, which we've talked about already, and Hallelujah Baby. But the best, I think this is the best one. And in addition to listening to the score, please look at the original pictures of the set. Because the set was designed by Boris Aronson.
Genius.
And he conceived the set as an enormous pop art jukebox, and it used collage. And one of the cool things is the first scene takes place in a nightclub where the wife is waiting for Phil Silvers to show up, and she's just sitting around waiting. The tables and chairs were mostly illustrated, and Boris Aronson put real actors sometimes sitting at a table talking to an illustration of a person. This had never been done before. So it had this very impressionistic...
Sunday in the Park. Wow.
Yes, this very impressionistic feeling of it. So actors would have conversations with illustrations. Nobody had ever seen anything like this before. So look at the original illustrations and listen to the score. It really is fantastic. So once again, that's Julie Stein, Comden and Green, book by Garson Kanin, a very famous playwright who a lot of young people might know as being the author of the book Smash, in which the television show Smash
isn't that interesting?
Was based on, in addition to great plays like Born Yesterday.
Yes.
So, Do-Re-Mi, fantastic score. Take a listen. That's my favorite thing.
Good
What is yours,
mine's
my friend?
Mine's the book Ethan Mordden's 1950s, Coming Up Roses, the Broadway musicals of the 1950s.
So once you're done with Coming Up Roses, pop over to 1960 for a little
check
moment
it out.
And take a look at Do-Re-Mi.
That's awesome.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.